Good morning. 00 hours.
Mostly cloudy.
33 degrees. Good morning. 0100 hours.
Mostly cloudy.
32 degrees. Good morning. 0200 hours.
Mostly clear.
32 degrees. Good morning. 0300 hours.
Mostly cloudy.
31 degrees. Good morning. 0400 hours.
Partly cloudy.
31 degrees. Good morning. 0500 hours.
Clear.
30 degrees. Good morning. 0600 hours.
Clear.
29 degrees.
Yippee Skippy, it's Tuesday. W-A-R-C-Y. Good morning. Oh, yep. Good morning. Just starting my run. Oh, joy.
Good morning. 0700 hours.
Yeah, there's a little hop skipping and jump in my step this morning. My Starbucks was delivered at 5 o'clock this morning, and I'm doing just ducky right now. Well, is that early? Is that normal? I don't know. I don't follow the celestial movements of RCY. No, that's pretty much normal. I mean, I was up at 4:30, so I said, well, they open at 4:30, and I just set the delivery time. I can set the delivery time wherever I want. I mean, I can set tomorrow's delivery if I wanted to right now, but no, I don't do it. I treat myself once a week, and this is the first time this week I've gotten around to doing it, so, yeah, and I'm just relaxing on the couch right now, and man, my apartment's hot. It's like burning up in here, and the furnace is off and everything. I got the door wall open. I got the bedroom window open. I'm trying to cool the place down. So, and then I'm drinking hot coffee, so that doesn't help. But, yeah. So that's my day so far. And got the shower in, shaved. You know, I'm doing all right, I guess. Sounds like it. But, yeah, I never realized that, but you know, hot air rises, and you're on one of the top floors, so I'm guessing there's not a whole lot you can do. Now, what happens in the summer when no one's got the heat on? It's pretty easy to regulate. If cold air falls, so it seems like whatever you set to should be fine. People down below probably freezing. we had those days of sub-zero wind chills and things like that going on, 30 below. I ran the furnace a couple times in the morning, but no, I generally don't have to run it at all during the winter. In the summertime, my building faces, as you know, the south-southwest open sky balcony, so that door wall just bakes. And so to run the air conditioning would be ridiculous. So I just leave the windows open all summer long, unless it's raining, of course. But at night I can leave the door wall open and the bedroom window open and be comfortable. And so, again, to run the heating or the air conditioning is very rare, even in the summertime, unless it gets, you know, really scorching hot with high humidity. I'll shut the place down and run it for a cycle or two to take, cool it off a little bit, but no. As many times as I've said before, I don't live in the Taj Mahal, but, you know, not to have to run the heat or the air conditioning too much and have natural air in the summertime is not too shabby.
No, I can't imagine not running the air in the summer, but what do they pay for gas and electric, or do you got to pay for that?
Central air, central heat is included, but we have to pay for the electricity to run the fans to propel the heat and the air conditioning when needed. Like I say, if I don't run it, then my electric bill stays down low as well. So I get a nice breeze in here, like I said, facing the southwest. I catch a nice breeze in here all year round, and yeah, I got a nice breeze coming through right now. Not much, but it's just nice enough to keep it comfortable. So, those kind of utilities are very far and few between an issue here.
All right, so you got to pay your electric bill. That's the thing. So, gotcha. So, I get it. A lot of these places, they include utilities, so you just run away. Doesn't cost you nothing.
Where is everybody? Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's the extremes. Where in the summertime, you got to run it just to take the heat out and then just shut it back down. Or in the wintertime when it's just super, super cold and it's like, oh, it's a little nippy on the toes. I better run it for at least a cycle. And it warms right back up. So, yeah. Now, with all the electronics in my apartment, my electric bill goes towards all of that. I mean, I've got how many radio chargers running, the laptop. Oh, you know what's up here. So, yeah, the microwave gets more use than anything. The beer fridge stays cold, and that's where all the electricity goes.
Well, righto. Well, what's going on here? Got the Sterling Heights guys out on 15 Mile Road here. I'm running 15 Mile Road this morning instead of 16 because I have to make a stop and I was in sight. I just gotta go check my keyless entry, see if it's functioning.
So it looks as though they are waiting for your arrival, Sterling Heights Finest. They must have known you were coming ahead of time, or somebody warned them that you were coming ahead of time, and wanted to give you a warm Sterling Heights welcome.
All right, phone just rang. All right, I'm at my stop. I gotta go test my door here. I'll be back in a few minutes. W8FU.
All right, sandbagging, W8RCY.
Morning, Don, KCFSC.
All I heard was morning, Don. And then I think it was maybe Ray that I heard in the call sign. It was very broken up.
It should be okay. Okay, I'm on the Holly site, running 50 watts. KC8SZT, that's right.
Well, good morning. At least I know my hearing still works good enough to where I could pick you out of the noise the first time. Your second transmission was much, much better. You might just have been in a funky spot. That's all.
Yeah, probably. All these hills out in this area. I'm on Dixie, coming up to 75 in Gettysburg here.
Yeah, I copy that. I haven't been out that way in probably 11 years or so since I retired. I used to be up out where you live and Great Lakes Crossing, up Baldwin, those kind of areas, Holly, so on and so forth. But now I'm down here in Mad Heights. I don't get out that way much anymore. And all I know is that there's a lot of hilly terrain and, you know, radio signals come and go just as much as the terrain comes and goes. So, yeah, I'm kind of used to it. And whenever somebody breaks up or something like that, it's just like Michigan weather. Wait 5 minutes, the weather will change. Go, you know, 5 miles, and the next thing you know, your signal's back to normal.
Figured I'd leave some breaks for Sean there. Yeah, they moved me to our Flint store full-time now, so I'm glad this repeater's linked up so I can talk to you guys. Hey, do you have that Pontiac W808K DMR machine in your Motorola there?
No, I'm kind of slacking on the work stuff for the Motorola. I'm trying to take a crash course in programming for my Motorolas, because I also want to get Wi-Fi on it and stuff. I'm doing crash courses and so on and so forth to learn this and, get out in the MI5, get out in a hotspot system for 70 centimeter, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Best way to do it is just do it myself, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Okay. Yeah, if you get time, it's a really nice repeater. You should be able to get it from your place there. It's on the Olsha building. I think it's about 300 feet up in the air, the antenna is. I'm trying to get some more activity on there. It's not a linked repeater, it's a standalone.
I kind of nicknamed it the Mile High antenna, but I remember there was an antenna on Baldwin just south of your location and Great Lakes Crossing, and it was a Verizon tower originally, an old analog tower that was God knows how many feet up in the air. And the arrays in the analog days were up at the top, and now that everything's digital, they dropped the arrays down at about half that distance. And the top half only had the antenna on the top to start the generator when the power went out in that area. So that was a huge antenna. Man, if you get an amateur or a GMRS antenna up on top of that bad boy, that would have been a good place to put one. But that was 11, 12 years ago, and I used to go by it a lot, so I don't even know if it's still there or not.
I know there's a couple of good towers on Dunton Road and 24 out there. I think there might be a receive site for the Skywarn system on there. Not sure what's going on, but yeah, that's a nice area out there, pretty high in elevation. That's, I want to say, north of Great Lakes Crossing there.
Wow, nobody's out today. Yeah, like I said, specifically when I was working for Verizon, I remember that one as well. And again, it was south of Great Lakes on the, as you head north, it'd be on the right-hand side. I should mention gigantic red and white commercial towers. And when, like I said, I remember when they switched from analog to digital, the original arrays were up at the top, and then their digital, they dropped them down about half. And it's like, what a waste of the upper half of that tower. And, I wasn't even back into GMRS or anything like that, or even now amateur. But, that would have been a nice place to put a tower. Another antenna tower like that was the one up in Port Huron. Verizon had one of those that are way up there. In the middle of nowhere, you enter the waterways there, not just the St. Clair River, but there was one out there, and they dropped the arrays down when it went from analog to digital. The whole top half of those towers were just empty, except for the generator antenna. But those were the days, and that's all cellular stuff, but I'm still working on my stuff slowly but surely, and had other things going on right now, and the other stuff just doesn't seem to want to stop. W8RCY.
Yeah, you must be talking about the old, like the AT&T long line towers. I remember in downtown Pontiac, the building's still there, and it's made out of brick. There's a brick tower. They used to have some microwave horns inside of there, but they're all gone now. There's some kind of antennas on the top of it still. That'd be a nice place to utilize if you could get in there with a repeater. KCS is at T.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the AT&T microwave tower structure there in downtown Pontiac as well. Because I come up through Pontiac and shoot up Baldwin, so I went right through that corridor, and that's why I remember the towers that were there. I believe there's an amateur antenna up there. I think it's the Oakland County 2-meter one. A friend of mine, Mike from the Troy Repeater, talks about it. And he tells me that's where it is. I'm not sure. I can't even hit that one. My most powerful HT for amateur is 8 watts. I don't have any mobile units or anything like that, so I get my Motorola's updated. And my one Motorola is 45 watts once I get it updated, but I doubt if I'll be on 2-meter. I'm just going to be on UHF. I'm not going to buy extra equipment. This one I have now that I'm talking on does have 2-meter, but I really don't listen much to 2-meter. I'm just I'm an old-school UHF guy.
Yeah, for some reason, that's always been my favorite band, too. I don't know why, but I always scan around UHF. There's a lot of commercial stuff that I can listen to. While I'm driving around, I usually do a search from, like, 450 to 470 and pick up a lot of interesting department stores and things like that on there. But, yeah, that 2-meter, that W8OAK is a strange system because they have multiple receivers, but people still can't seem to get into it very well. I don't know. I think they have two transmitters. I'm not 100%. You back yet, Sean? KCNSZT?
Uh-huh. Well, you can continue other than just saying, uh-huh. I take it you're able now to get in and out of your vehicle. Kiosk entry is now functioning, maybe?
Well, I wasn't checking the keyless entry on my vehicle. It was on one of my sites that we were having trouble with the card access. You'd swipe and it wouldn't let you in, so I've got to go by this site for multiple times, make sure it's not going to act up again, where I can sign off on the repair. I don't know any other way to do it because it was intermittent. Yeah, you'd go in there. You'd swipe into the site 3, 4, 5 times, and bing, wouldn't work. So, worked today. So, that's all I can say. Other than that, I don't know much about, I don't generally dabble in other people's repeaters. You know, site specifics are a sore spot with me, so I don't discuss them. You know, don't know where Oakland's got anything. I've heard rumors, but that's all they are.
Yeah, a lot of people keep their stuff secret, too. It's strange. Go ahead, Don.
Oh, Sean kept his repeater book of what he has. Actually, amateurs, MRS, who knows what he's got. That book wouldn't be able to fit in his pocket, that's for sure. Pocket-sized book. trying to keep track and tabs of everything, so I can fully understand, how he keeps things in order, so I don't blame him. But, other than that, though, I thought you were talking about your car's keyless entry. I didn't know it was a site, because I know you got a couple of sites out there on 15 Mile Road, along the 15 Mile Road corridor. So, okie dokie. I'll hand it over to Sean because I really don't have much more to add.
WARCY.
Yeah, well, site procurement, site maintenance, and site agreements are a very delicate dance. So you may not understand why people don't share that information readily, but trust me, there's reasons. Not everything is for everyone to know.
Yeah, I kind of do understand people are devious sometimes. All right, well, I'm going to get out of here because this traffic's getting kind of hairy here on 75. I thought they had this done, 75 and Holly here, but they got it down to two lanes again. I'll catch you guys in a little while in case you get us to that too. Go ahead, Don.
Okay. Well, there went my phone. It just took a little 5-foot drop. I'm just going to go back to doing my home study course on things, on the programming going, get the DMR going, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Give this thing a shot. And that's about it on this end. So I will let you, Sean, go. Finish up your day. Have a good day. Get your coffee, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know where the other guys are, but just make it a good one. And we'll catch up with you maybe later today, if not tomorrow. WARCY, we are clear.
Okay, WAFU.
Yeah?
There's no jabs out here.
No who?
Whatever you just said, it sounded like Jeb. Like Jeb Clampett.
I just said, yeah.
All right, well, I heard Jeb. Jebediah. So, what's up, Lance?
Just taking the trek southbound.
I'm taking the back road then. Looks I'm pretty close. So, almost to work here this morning.
I don't really have good back roads to take yet. I gotta deal with the Sea of Orange.
Why would you have to deal with the City of Orange?
Sea of Orange is in the Michigan State Flower.
Oh, hearing well this morning, so I'm hearing other things. Ah, well.
Yeah, luckily, southbound hasn't changed the traffic pattern yet, so we'll see when that flips, but it's been relatively smooth so far.
Yeah, I heard they jacked up southbound. Right after the week I was in Muskegon, because I came home, I took 69 to 75 and 75 south to avoid the 696 junk, and that was quite nice. And then they said, well, good thing, because the following week they shut it all down. It would have been so nice. So, not sure what all they got going on there, but I've heard there's going to be construction on southbound 75 for a while.
It's year two of the three-year project, so southbound's still good right now, but they're dragging the K-rails over. As soon as those are drug over, southbound's gonna be messed up.
Roger. All right, I just parked. Gonna get inside, start my day. Drive safe. We'll talk to you later. Dial Bull UAW.
Alrighty. Still got 34 minutes. 7-3, CBLA.
Good morning, 0800 hours. Sunny, 28 degrees.
WAEAP. KEATFM. WAEAP.
KFHBPA mobile monitoring. KF8 Bravo Papa Alpha mobile monitoring, West Bloomfield.
Good morning, 0900 hours. Mostly cloudy, 30 degrees.
KAAUGQ mobile monitoring.
W8EAP, welcome back, Sean.
What makes you think I'm back?
Well, it announced you were connected, then it announced you were disconnected, then it announced that you reconnected. So, I don't know. Just going by the what I heard.
Oh, you're on the phone. Okay, yeah, you hear that on the phone. Because we have that telemetry turned on the hub, and this is connected to the hub. Yes, I was. I had an incoming call from Walt, so I had to hang up here lest you hear the hold music.
Okay, makes sense to me. I'm just sitting here lurking myself. There doesn't seem to be any activity on the hub, so I'm just kind of sitting and hanging out here.
Roger. All right, back to work. And lurking, I guess. We'll call it lurching. All right, W8FU.
One operator lurking, one operator instigating, and one operator sandbagging. That's not a trio. I don't know what could be. W8RCY. Enjoying coffee.
Good morning, 1000 hours. Mostly cloudy, 32 degrees.
N1KRD.
Good morning, 1100 hours. Mostly cloudy. 33 degrees.
NHKTB.
Good morning. Or not.
Sorry about that. Work got in the way.
Oh, sure. So, what's got you out and about?
I am going to the office to print out some submittals for one of the guys that I work with. I want, oh, I don't know what they call them. I always use the word submittals, but pictures of dimensions of air compressors. And it's only a couple of us that got the passwords to that, so I'm heading towards the office.
You got to get them what they want.
Yes, sir, I do. So, that's my goal. What about you? Are you getting all caught up? Did you see the attendance record for the Skywarn class?
I did not.
The email chain that I just saw shows it over 75 people. I guess we have graduated into a bigger room.
Wow. That's a hell of a crowd.
Yep. They're going to show us the movie of The Wizard of Oz, and then we're going to take a test.
Seems legit to me.
Yep. One of the questions is what could have Dorothy done different?
I'm trying to think of an answer to that, but I got nothing. Maybe signed with a better studio.
Yeah, that's true. You want to grab a lunch somewhere right around noonish? I got to print some of these documents up and then I can get out of here.
Yep, just name the place. Doesn't have to be that this way either. It could be up there in that consumer alley up there.
How about Sugar Bush? 21 and Sugar Bush. I-94 to 21 Mile Road. Get off, turn right, first stoplight. Second stoplight. I don't know, first or second, whatever. I don't think there's a stoplight there at the BJ's thing. So, what's Sugar Bush?
Sure. I know right where it is. Go there often.
Okay, I'll see you there about noon. Any of the other handies want to show up? I think the invitation is open.
All right, let me get on a few things here and so I can clear my plate for that. I'll see you at Sugar Bush at noon.
Okay. Hey, keep it peace.
W8FU.
KRD Mobile.
Hello, it's me, NHKPD. Oh, my God.
God. Couldn't get off.
Make it over here, John.
Side Street.
Onto Elizabeth. What a mess. I normally don't go out this about now because it's from all the lunch traffic out.
Yeah, it's getting busy up here this way too, so it's kind of weird. There's a lot of heavy traffic coming up here. I guess I now hear there's talk of them building a Kroger up here. I don't know if you've heard that one yet or not.
No, I have not. When you say up here, are you talking, what, 26th and County Line area?
Yeah. Well, Corwell's got a presence up here now. St. John's has got a presence up here, Ascension or whatever, Henry Ford. I'm not sure what they're called this week. They've got a presence up here now. Myers has always had a presence up here now. And now there's rumor amongst the village people that Kroger is in talks with some people for some land. So... And it's kind of funny, the village people, they don't want the area to grow, which I understand completely, but I think it's going to happen against their will.
Well, it depends on what kind of growth. You know, there's trashy stuff that doesn't last very long, and then there's... or big box stores and stuff that are very impersonal. And then there's, I mean, I like what Shores did. Shores didn't allow any chains or I forget how they did their ordinance, but you won't find, like, any malls or any major chains in through there. Not everybody around them's got them. And it is a little bit of a problem because if you want to go to a Target, you live anywhere in that area there, you got to travel quite a ways, but... They kept a lot of local, privately owned businesses all through the city, which I think worked to a degree.
Yeah, you know, I kind of like the Shores area. A girl that I dated years ago, before Marion, she had a house there in Shores. It was nice. I mean, the services were, like, over the top. Fire department, the police, I mean, they were really, really well-equipped, well-established, very well-responsive. I mean, I couldn't say enough good about them. You know, the taxes were crazy. I mean, but then again, you know, if you want all of these services, you know, I guess somebody's got to pay for them. But I know her, she had a little house that wasn't worth that much, but the taxes were like just crazy. But yeah, the other thing too, I saw read in the paper up here, the local paper, was that they're selling the golf course, and they're going to turn that into a subdivision too. And I forget the name, Glen something or another too. So that was the other thing I saw. I read that in the paper. That one I didn't hear from the locals. But that's kind of a shame because that's a nice golf course. But I mean, I like the golf and everything else. But if you look at it from a financial point of view, I don't know how they make any money. I mean, lots and lots of water, lots and lots of grassy, lots and lots of electricity for what, 5 months worth of revenue? I don't get it.
Well, how does any golf course stay in business? Is it they don't charge for citizens or what? I don't understand the model there.
No, they all charge, but, you know, like, you go over there and you do, let's say, 9 holes or 18 holes, it's usually between $30 and $40. So, for a whole evening of fun or afternoon of fun or something like that, but... You know, I was just talking about, you know, if you just see all these monster watering systems and stuff like that, you know, trying to keep the grass nice and green and pretty and everything else. So, if you have customers coming, then you got to fertilize it to make it look pretty because no golfer wants to golf in weeds. You know, and then you got the putting greens, which are like most of the time in Michigan, they're really, really nice. But, all that expense, and I just look at all of that expense and all of that property, and I just think, how do these guys make it? You know, that's where I was going with that conversation. I was more of a financial point of view than anything else like that. So when I had heard that, you know, they were selling that golf course and turning it into the one right there in our subdivision and turning it into a residential area, I thought, yeah, that's how he's making it.
No, I understand the point clearly, and I know the expense, you know, that a golf course has, but, you know, my question is, how does any golf course stay in business? Because all of them are going to have that exact same set of issues, those exact same costs. You know, that's why I said, what, do they let golfers play there for free, or what's the difference between them and golf courses that are viable?
You know, there's nothing there for free. It's a standard pay-as-you-go type golf course. But I was just referring to the amount of revenue that they take in. You know, if I'm looking at things, you know, from a financial point of view, any golf course versus, you know, how does this thing stay so pretty, you know, with whatever. I mean, God, look at our water bills and just our houses now, you know. I mean, mine is almost $300 for, I think, 3 months or 4 months. I don't know what I pay, but... You know, and it's just her and I. So imagine those big monster sprinkler systems running at night. You know, it's just like, that's what I was kind of referring to. Just the whole golf course business in general. Like, how do these guys do it?
Right, but there has to be, but the model has to make money or there wouldn't be golf courses, right? I mean, nobody would do it if it was a losing proposition. So, you know, there must be a way to make money at it. They're opening all the time. So I don't know, maybe a lot of people don't like to play that because it's only a 9-hole and it's, you know, it's not... It's gotten so fancy, who knows, but... Or maybe they just see a better business model running new high-end homes out of that area. So, I don't know. All right, I'm here. I'm going to get inside. Looks like we'll be okay. Doesn't look like the... If there's a lunch rush, it looks like we beat it. I don't think we'll have a
problem. Yeah, I'm right behind him at the light. It's just turned green, so I'll be in about a minute and a half, maybe 30 seconds. N-A-K-B-B.
Good afternoon, 1200 hours, cloudy, 35 degrees. Good afternoon, 1300 hours, cloudy, 36 degrees.
KE8-PSI mobile.
W-A-E-A-P. KF8, DRC.
Jack. Starting up to get some lunch, Dad. Say hi. Yeah, I got to swing by this week and grab a couple, three of your radios, and I'll update them. I think I'll start with the DB20Gs and the 5RMs first. Yeah, one or two of those 5RMs. I forget. I know you got two DB20Gs.
The 5RM is one here and one with the funny lady.
Okay, I have four of them. I had four of them, and I gave two to my brother. So. And then he gave one away, so I had to buy a fifth one. I told him, don't give those radios away anymore.
I tell you one thing, they're hell of a radio. You put in anything, it comes right up.
Yeah, anyhow, I'm going to get some gas over here and then pick up my lunch, but I'll be out here a little bit later this afternoon, and we'll see how things go tonight. But yeah, like I said, I modified those radio files last night. They're all ready to go, ready to be put in.
Let me ask you, how am I sounding? This is a stubby that comes in with that 390.
You're in there, but you're a little bit weak, a little bit weak. I'll be back in short. W-8-E-A-P.
Okay. K-F-8-D-R-C.
Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Cloudy. 37 degrees. Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Cloudy. 37 degrees.
My turn.
W8FU.
K8BB.
Well, how you feeling?
Well, about the same. No worse, no, not much better. But okay, I'm not dying.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the same thing that ripped through our shop. That was back in February. And I got it right at the tail end. That was the last one. It was never really horrible, but it had me definitely out for about two days. And the third day was, I didn't want to go in, I didn't want to spread nothing or anything like that. And I was pretty bad on the third day, too. But it had me out about two days. I just didn't feel like going out doing anything. And it was a really, really horrific sore throat on day one. And then it was a cough that just, my rib cage was so painful, and my throat was still bothering me on days two and three. But that was more about the cough on days two and three. And then after that, it kind of went away. So it was a long smoldering. I knew I was getting sick for about three or four days before all that. So I don't know if it's the same thing. There's a lot. You hear a lot of this going around.
Yeah, this came on kind of quick. I was working all day Saturday. I was out in the field with clients and spent a bit more time outside on Saturday than I kind of expected. And Saturday evening when I was feeling funky and, kind of before bed. And I was up late, too. I made some sprint contacts and stuff. But I just attributed it to having been out in the cold for a lot of the day. And, man, Sunday morning I got up and this is not right. And it was kind of like what you described, only maybe not as bad. Although Sunday was bad. Now, I had bad sore throat, but just body, like my hair hurt and all my joints hurt, my whole body hurt. And, you know, I had very little appetite and thought I had a little fever. And, you know, ended up doing a consult on Zoom that I was supposed to do in the office. And had a client, had a friend cover a client appointment in the afternoon. And I just went to bed early. You know, I was alternating Motrin and acetaminophen and ibuprofen for a little bit of the evening and overnight. And Monday I felt kind of okay. You know, I felt better, you know, and I was in the office a little bit, kept my door closed, met with a client for a short time, had a mask on. And I thought, all right, I'm just coming out of this. And then last night, wham. Anyway, I assume I sound worse than I feel, but... Anyway, are you on your way home?
Yes, I am. Heading home now. I'm gonna drive by Tringali's and try not to stop, you know.
Do not give in to temptation. That's not a commandment. That's part of a... Well, anyway. You know, unless you really feel like it.
Yeah, we'll see. Gotta figure out what to do for dinner tonight. Nothing sounds good, but didn't eat all that long ago. Wally and I stopped at the Sugar Bush Tavern. Yeah, fish. Weird day to do fish. Oh, and another thing, I got two packages. Both seem to be lost. Can you believe that? I haven't had that happen to me ever, I don't think. And I've got two now. I got one coming from the Ukraine. Last saw in Pontiac. Now it's a big mystery. But made it to Pontiac. And I had another one coming from that tuner's coming from South Dakota. And that made it all the way to Wyoming, Michigan on Friday. And it's now in limbo. Like, what the hell?
Well, I'm assuming that everyone getting laid off, there's just stuff sitting around. Well, hopefully it'll show up. As infuriating as some of the, you know, tracking stories are, you know, the truth is that for the volume of stuff that the carriers all handle, they do tend to get things to where they need to go. You know, the lost items get obviously talked about the loudest. So, fingers crossed, hopefully it'll show up for you.
Yeah, I'm not giving up yet. I've got hopes that both come in. And the tuner was nice because I don't think it's been modified at all, but he says it's 100% working and it has a result, which is hard to get. I gave a buck and a quarter for it shipped. So I don't think that would be bad for one of those. I want to take with it. I want to get in and try to do some of those modifications that Punk X and others were doing. I can do, you know, most all of them. It's not like one of the old boxer protector tuners with, you know, a tunable front end. You know, it requires a real skill set to align. Should be able to get it all modified, doctored up, and aligned and everything myself. If I don't get, you know, a window of opportunity. But, the guy's always on your butt. I said, no, just hold on, slow your roll. And he said, because I had some friends and family, and he's like, oh, I'll send it right over. And I'm like, no, wait, let's give him some time to come in. It's just I was hoping you could just nudge him a little bit to, you know, to start like that. But, so anyhow, he's legit. He'll hit something when he doesn't come in. And, the one from the Ukraine, like I said, you would think in a war-torn country, you think the problem would be, you know, somewhere over there or coming into the country or anything like that. No, made it all the way to Pontiac. Now it's lost. In good grief.
Well, I live in Pontiac, and so that's, you know, not 100% shocking. You were a little noisy in there. I was curious what repeater you're on or where you are. I got 90% of that, but I kind of missed a couple of words in the middle about, you said that you were thinking that you might do some of the tuner stuff, which is fine, or I can talk to Mike and see if he might take it on for a friend. It sounded like you were saying something like you might have another person who might be able to do it. Again, like there are some words in there that got missed. Some picket fencing, bacon fry type.
Yeah, normally I leave this darn thing on 2.6, but sometimes when I'm up there running around, I ran north and met Wally for lunch, so I switched over to the UMP, and that repeater does not carry very far to the south or west. I got to get up there and take a look at it. But, no, I was just saying that, I gave a buck and a quarter for the thing, and it has the remote. It's working, even threw in some sort of antenna for what it's worth. And, I gave a buck and a quarter for it, and I figured that's a good deal for working with the remote ship, you know. So, what the hell? I want to play with one anyhow. And then I went on to say that, you know, I may attempt to do a lot of the modifications myself. It's not, you know, one of these crazy ones like, you know, the, you know, MR series, you know, Max or something, you know, where they're very, very intricate and difficult to work on. And even some of the other older analog ones with the, you know, all the tuning circuits and the quadrature detector and all that stuff, you know, you got to really get right. You know, that you just send it off to somebody that's really good with those. But I don't think there's a whole lot of that with this, so I'm tempted to, you know, just experiment with myself. But if Mike, could be convinced, I will definitely do that instead. But I got to get it first. That's the problem.
Okay, yeah, I guess I got most of what you said then. Yeah, I couldn't tell you. My hunch is that the intricacies of working on that one, it's probably more the matter of, you know, some of the SMT technology and, you know, being handy and having the right equipment rather than necessarily, having some other set of advanced skill set. But that's a fair price. Not too high, not too low. I think I've seen them around 100-ish, you know, in good shape, original, usually without a remote. Every now and then you'll see someone's got the pristine right off the shelf, perfectly in the box, you know, 185 or something like that. And I've seen them, you know, advertised, modded up, you know, with all the usual mods and things for a bit more. And based on my message earlier, yeah, we are no longer in the heyday of FM broadcast. So I think that in stock form or in a modestly modified form, you'll probably get 100% of what you're looking for in a small little box that's, you know, not obviously did not break the bank.
Yeah, and truth be told, that'd probably be, you know, all I need. Just for that, because I mean, you don't need much. There's not much you need a tuner for anymore. Like you said, the golden age is over, and that everything's all compressed. And is even the classical station QRS? Are they still? Are they compressed and all? What about like DET or UOM? They all give in to the compression and everything.
Well, less so. WDET and WRCJ, which is the new version of WTRS from yesteryear, they're a little hot. I think it's WKAR is in East Lansing. It's the 90.5. They've got a terrific signal. Nice, good quality. They're not real compressed. Overall, their level is low. You know, you've got the signal-to-noise ratio is not always great because, they do turn the drive down a little bit, so they've got a lot of headroom, so you get greater dynamic swings. But you've got to have an antenna that you can really get them full quieting. I do pretty well with the Yagi on the roof, but they've got a big enough signal that you could probably do okay with just an Omni, but you got to get an outside antenna for that station. You're just not going to hear that in the house, especially a, usual metal-clad house. So there's still some decent fidelity stuff out there, but it's still, you know, it's digital from the studio to the transmitter, and you know, and 47 different intermediary spots. I don't know how that stuff works. I just have a bad attitude about the whole thing. So WDET, WRCJ, they're a little hot, they're a little compressed, but not bad. You still get some dynamic range. WKAR, probably better. WUOM has got a good signal, but they're mostly NPR stuff. They don't play a lot of music. And then there's a bunch of, you know, there's the EMU, WEMU. I can get them pretty well here with the antenna on them. There's a station in Toledo. I don't recall the frequency. They might be 91.1. I can zero in on them. They're okay, too. A moment here. And some of the stations do, they don't have in-studio hosts 24/7, so some of the stuff that they're broadcasting is syndicated, and, sometimes you'll hear the same program, on two of those stations, 4 hours apart. So that's a little strange, but, it's fun to play with and stuff, but it's not like I would settle down in front of the stereo with a bag of popcorn, to listen to the local Cincy broadcast. It's not going to be what it was.
Well, I have no problem with that. Most of the time it would probably be on 101.9 or 91.7. For what it's worth. So that's why I was going more for look for a tuner. Why the Brandt's 125 was kind of like, if the right opportunity arose for a 125, I'd get that and just call it a day. But this little Sony's got me intrigued for a C-note. And it does the digital stuff. So, you can explore that too. So, that was a no-brainer. All right, I'm going to get that. Although the digital's not great, it's not horrible. Try that out, some of the side streams. But, $100, I'll play with it.
Yep, and I have, in the last year, I've probably made inquiries on two of those tuners that I saw for sale. And on both of them, I'd have got them, I was just a little late. Saw the ad. They went, I hit the hog for a few days, finally sent a message, and they said, it just sold, I haven't updated the Atom, both times, so, I don't think you're way out of line by giving it a try, and I think I probably did it, there's some advantages, because I listen to just the same stations anyway, so I'd probably program the, I think that one's got memories up on the top, there's buttons on top, just be able to hit the button, go right to the station for the game, or go right to the station for evening jazz. If I don't want to go through putting a record on or something. But, and I don't think I have any digital, well, the radio in my car is a digital tuner, so I can listen to, it's got HD, so I can listen to 97.2 and 97.3 and whatever else I have on there. To be honest, the codec, on high frequency and music, that swirling sound drives me nuts, and so I almost always keep HD turned off in my car because I'm usually listening to music. So I'm missing whatever might be on those alternate programming. I should turn that on next time I'm in the car and just see what's there.
Yeah, and I don't have a lot of experience with it myself either. I know it's there. A couple of times I've stopped on it. I've never stopped on it long enough to critique it compared to the main analog station. It's when it snaps in, the signal noise is the thing that impresses you because it just gets dead quiet, but that does not, that's one part of the puzzle. That does not necessarily equate to greater fidelity or dynamic range or any of those things. So. I imagine if I get this little Sony and I get it, fixed up and I get it in my home system, I'll be able to, analyze that a little bit more in detail. But again, like we just said, I like pretty much those two stations, 91.7. If something's going on in the sports ball world that I want to follow or something like that, so exceptions. I do like to tune around between like 90 and 91, you know, for, you know, all the cool stuff that's in there. There's a couple of high school stations and, you know, the classical station, all that stuff. It's fun to tool around in there a little bit. But that's about the extent of it. Really, 90% of the time I'm on either 91.7 or 101.9, and I hardly need anything for that. I get a little battery-operated one for that. But enough on that. I'm going to make a stop here. I'm not going to say where. Starts with a T and ends with an I, and I'm not going to say.
All right. Well, I am going to wander upstairs and refill my coffee cup. And maybe wander back down here. But, all right, nice chatting. And let me know if any of your packages show up. 73KABB.
Okie doke. Yeah, we'll be out here in a few. Going to go look at all the legal locale selections here at Tringali's. I'll be in a few. W8FOO.
Good afternoon. 1600 hours. Cloudy. 38 degrees.
Well, I really like Nakamichi, but the digital, no thank you. It's, sometimes just the beauty of analog.
What the heck, Dino? Make up your mind. Connect, disconnect. Jeez.
Good afternoon. 1700 hours. 38 degrees. Good evening. 1800 hours. 38 degrees.
With a ham license.
Ken, give me the call sign. That way I can put it down and I will remember it.
KFAAYL, Kilo Foxtrot 8 Alpha Yankee Lima.
Okay, here's what I got. KFAAYL.
That's correct, sir. You got it right.
Yeah, I'm learning. I know a lot. I know some of them, you know, but I will. No, it's very easy. It's not that hard to do. But that's the other side, you know, that like Kilo Foxtrot 8 Delta Romeo Charlie.
Yeah, it'll be natural within a week or two. So don't worry. Don't fret it.
You're right, Ken. I have it written down on a piece of paper, and it's in the front of me. Wherever I go, I put it right in the front of me. Roger.
You'll catch on.
I'm sorry, did you need to take this over? Was KGO still out there?
This is Tom Tango, Oscar Mike. Call sign of Kilo Charlie 8. Kilo Juliet Oscar. KC8 KGO.
I got it. KHAKGO. Correct?
Kilo Charlie 8. Kilo Juliet Oscar. KC8 KGO. Got it?
Yes, I got it. KAAKGA. Correct? Okay, thank you. I got it right now. KCAKGA.
Better known as Cujo. Remember it as Cujo.
Hey, no problem. And thank you. And thank you very much, sir. And we'll talk to you in a few. Ken, you still there?
I'm here. I'm still here, Jack. So, are you enjoying your snow down there, or you're not getting any snow? Because we're getting snow here.
Oh, you know what? I have not snow. But the other day, oh, man, you should see how much snow came down. I got up next day. It's not even a drop. That remember I was talking to you? It snowed so hard that even the car was full of snow. I woke up next day and it was all gone.
Good evening, 1900.
Yeah, well, that's what happens with the weather this time of year. Yeah, it was coming down from up north on Saturday, or on Friday night. Hadn't snowed a drop, hadn't snowed anything for several days, and all of a sudden I got caught in a snowstorm all the way across the UP and all the way down I-75 until about West Branch. Like, wow, I was down to 30, 40 miles an hour for a little while there.
Are you on a pickup truck or a car?
I was in my car. I have a Volkswagen Phaeton, which, if you probably don't know it, it's a bit of an odd car. It's an all-wheel drive, 6,000-pound Volkswagen flagship sedan. It's a great car. It's perfect for snow. Perfect. Got winter tires on it. Awesome. But, you know, when it's snowing cats and dogs, you still got to slow down.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. You got to slow down. It happened to me last 2 years ago. I was going north and coming back, and it got white out. You couldn't see nothing. I kept going, and it slowed down, and just stopped right there. I didn't even do nothing. It just flashed the light up till it got cleared out. And really, there was about a car in front of me. They were all in the ditch.
Yeah, that happens.
That happened to me on Friday, too, as I was coming across the UP on the Teeny Stretch, the 30 miles of military secret road that they can land planes on if they wanted to. It always turns into a whiteout area there if there's any kind of storm. And it was a whiteout on Friday night. But you just crawl through it, do your best. There's no problem. Slow down.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. You know, they said it's the best thing to do, have yellow lights in the front. You should be able to go through that whiteout.
Yeah, that's kind of a European thing. yeah, just keep the low beams on and, no high beams. That doesn't work. Sometimes even turning your lights off works better, but that you can't really do that if there's any oncoming traffic, so keep your lights on. But yeah, the lower the light, the better.
No, Kent, yellow lights, you know, the round lights, yellow lights, you know, a lot of people have them. I mean, what's that, in the 80s, a lot of people had them, you know what I mean? I didn't have them, but they got white out, and I told you, you know, it just stopped complete. I don't even know what happened to the road. You couldn't, anyhow. But the yellow lights, it helps out if you could put a couple in the front.
Yeah, well, that would be an aftermarket thing here in the States, so I'm not going to decorate the front of my car with extra lights. It works fine the way it is. You just got to slow down.
Yeah, or you know what? Just slow down, pull over, and that's it. And let it roll. Let the whiteout go until all the clear out, and then keep going.
Well, I'm not going to pull over because you might be sitting there for a couple hours. I'll just keep going at a slow speed, 30, 40 miles an hour. You can crawl through it. There's no problem.
Yeah. And one time, and we were going to Reed City. I think you heard of Reed City. It's way down there, 3-4 hours of driving was. And really, you know, we pulled over, and that was it. We stayed in the car until everything cleared out. But it took a long time to clear it out. About 45 minutes, we were sitting in the car.
Oh, I see. Yeah, interesting. So what radio and antenna are you using in the ham world here on this repeater that you're on?
I'm using the TYT-390 with Nagoya antenna, the 771 antenna, and I heard it's doing excellent out there.
Yeah, you sound good. You're sounding great. I was just curious what you were using, if you're ready for when you passed and had a radio and antenna set up and ready for it. Sounds like you did.
Oh, yeah, you believe that? Even 3-4 handheld, one of them was not Nagoya, no. One of them is a Bofing, RHA. RHA, I don't know, like, no, an AR, AR-5, it was an AR-5. That was radio too. That is, they said 8-watt radio, but it's a little bit more over 5-watt radio. It's a good radio, and it's got a wide screen.
AR-5RM, or just a 5RM.
Thank you, Eric.
Yeah, I hear you, Jack. Well, I am going to go in here and get some dinner here, but good chatting with you. Glad to hear you on this side. Congratulations again.
and enjoy your new privileges. And this is KF8AYO, clear on your final.
All right, Ken, take care. We'll talk again on this side of the world, not the other side. Forget about the other side. There's nothing but a headache down there. Take care. KF8DRC.
There's nothing wrong with the other side. It's just a different service. They're all good guys. KF8AYO.
I don't know. One of them just jumped up and he goes, you're an idiot, Jack. That's what he said. So, you know, that's why I don't like to be there no more, really.
Yeah, well, there's always the one-offs, but who knows. Anyway, I'm going to KF8 AYO. Well.
This is W8EAP.
Go ahead, KF8DRC. Go ahead, Eric.
That's right, you're KF8 Detroit Rock City. Anyhow, I'm talking to you on one of my other radios here. I'm going to try to come by there tomorrow after work, pick up those three, get those three taken care of, and then we can bring your other radio. The RT-890. Yeah, so I need the 5RM, the RT-890, and then the DB-20G. That's what I need.
I see it. The Rockdale, I think it's open, Eric, that 890. I think it's open because I clicked it today, and I opened the repeater.
All right. Well, I got to put some other goodies in there. Let me check the file here. I put a few more goodies.
All right. Well, the other day, I talked to Dave with that 10,000-mile radio. He was sounding good. So, Eric, you're still there?
Yeah. Well, like I said, I added a few more things. And you'll like the 5RM when you get it back. You'll really like it. So, yep. So that's about it. Dave's probably sleeping by now. It's like midnight. It's, 12 a.m. there now.
He's drinking that Coke Zero. Anyhow, you think we're going to need an antenna? A new antenna outside?
Yeah, you may want to get one of those, tram dual band base antennas. Because either way, that other antenna you got up there is probably not made for VHF. So, yeah, I'll let you know the link. It's called the tram. I forgot what the numbers are on it, but that'll be a good antenna for everything.
I see what you're saying. Now, that antenna I got outside, it's a fiberglass, and it has a three different bars. You know, I don't mean bars, but they go three different ways. So it's got to be a USF, VHF. That's what I'm thinking. And Don, I don't know, the Professor Don, he said he says you all said he got VHF, UHF antenna.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah, check your match on that. But, yeah, let me know exactly what model that is. I'll check it out.
KF8BOX.
It's a Harvest BC200. Got on Amazon.
BC200, okay.
It says, it doesn't say UHF, VHF, you know what I'm saying? But it says it's good for GMRS. That's all it was saying. but it has UHF and VHF.
Hey, VHF.
Whatever that is, you're very overmodulated, distorting.
Sorry about that. I might have turned the mic gain down a little bit, but I'll back off of it here, so hopefully it's not too bad now. Just wanted to say that Ben and Jack's got that harvest is good for 2 meters, 70 centimeter, and GMRF. It just goes up to 470 megahertz instead of the regular 440 or 4. Yeah, never mind. I'm not thinking straight right now. But that, and I wanted to say congratulations there, Jack. But if you're going to keep using a handheld there, you might want to think about getting yourself a good hand mic for it. You're just kind of sporadic on your in and out with your audio over there. I know, and mine's too loud, right? Just wanted to add that in there, guys. KF8BLX.
Yes, you believe I got a hand mic. Handheld mic. I do have it. I think that's what I'm going to do. Put it on, too. Yeah, what is your cosign again?
Kilo Foxtrot 8, Bravo Lima X-ray.
All right, so that'll be KF8 LBX.
Negative, all the way around. BLX, Bravo Lima X-ray.
By the way, Jack, your audio sounds great over here. You're about twice as loud as the other guy. So you sound good. I just think Jack's falling in and out of the repeater once in a while. But sounds really loud and clear over here. But I think he's just using a rubber duck right now.
Yeah, you know what, Eric? I don't know if this radio does that, too. I didn't know that. But it's a good radio. Let me tell you something. Anyhow, anything else you want to... well, just text me and tell me what time and all that. I sure have no problem at all.
No, I just wanted to say you shouldn't have any issues with that harvest antenna. You should be good to go. Should cover all the bands that you need to cover for now. Especially if you're more on the UHF side than you are on the VHF side.
All right, thank you for that info. I really appreciate that info. You take care and have a good evening.
All right, you guys too. And I'll be back on the side listening. KF8 BLX monitoring.
Eric, you still out there? KF8 DRC.
Yep, I'm still here. Yeah, I mean, they just advertised that antenna for UHF only, but, you know, I'm sure someone else has tried it out on VHF. You can always just check your match, too. You got an SWR meter there. I just don't want you to burn out any radios. I think you should be fine because, you know, I mean, most UHF antennas work on VHF as well. Just like the rubber ducks do. But, yeah, you can just give it a quick test. But, very good. Well, I used to say you're on a 390 right now, right? And that's just using the Nagoya?
Yes, that's the 390. I tell you, that is the best radio. If I'm sitting here with you and talking to you, I didn't believe that the 390 is going to do that. I really did not believe that.
Now you should try the 5RM just for giggles and see how that one does. I'll bet you that one will work just as good.
Hey, just give me a minute. I know it's out there. Just give me a minute. Let me grab it because I'm sitting in the radio room.
You got radios in every room, Jack. See, Jack's got radios in every room. He just, whatever room he walks into, he grabs. Go ahead, KJO. is W8EAT.
Yeah, I thought so. Are you off work, or are you sitting at home talking with Jed?
I'm just sitting at home. Just got home a little bit ago.
Yeah, I'm rolling through Romeo. Just talking to Wally on 51 and trying to figure out what my benchmarks are in regards to, what do you want to call it, range, I guess. Some static areas up there, so I got to get a better antenna for the Motorola.
Pretty windy out there.
Yeah, with this little park cart, I'm surprised I haven't been blown over yet. Some of those wind gusts, man, just throw me to the other lane. Well, I just upset somebody's apple cart.
Well, did you cut somebody off?
Got the 55 zone here on 32 east of M53. They're doing like 30, 35 in the left lane, so I passed them at 55 and slowed down, well, maybe about 60, then I slowed down about 50, 55, and then he comes buzzing by me because I irritated him. So, yeah, I upset his apple cart. But as the saying goes, who cares? KCK Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, be careful. People are nutty. It ain't guns. It ain't guns. It ain't the problem. It's just people are just, there's a mental health problem.
Yeah, then he started off slow, and I was just behind him. It's like, come on, get up to speed. And now he's flying down 32. I think he owns the place. And it's a brand new car, because he's got a template, so I'm sure he doesn't want that mashed up since he just got it off the showroom floor, or at least off the used car lot.
Eric, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm just reading something here. I think Dave's still up. Dave, what are you doing up so late? It's like 12:25 in the morning. That's normal time for him. Yeah, I'm still here. Dave's online, but he doesn't have a 10,000 mile radio hooked up where he's at right now.
Probably drinking that Coke Zero. Okay, I'm on that AR5 with a mic. How's that sound?
Sounds fine here. I would just use it with no mic. Just talk into the radio. Take the mic off and talk into the radio. See what it sounds like.
How about now? No mic right now. Straight to the radio.
Sound great. It sounds just as good as the 390, if not better.
Yeah. You want me to try the 890? I got it here, too.
Okay, yeah, try the 890. I meant the 390. You sound just good or better than the 390. You can try the 890.
Okay, this is the 890. This is 890 with no mic, straight.
Sounds pretty close. Maybe your signal's got a little bit more noise in it, just a hair, but sounds good.
Now, which one is this? The one got my picture in it.
Well, we got a surprise. You're all going to have your picture. I found a way to put your picture on all of them.
Lord help
I
her.
Mean, when I talk to the ISS, they're going to look at my picture, correct?
I don't want to scare them. Anyhow, go ahead, KJL. Heard you key up for a second.
Lord help us. Jack's face all over the radio waves now. Uh-oh.
Yeah, the funniest one is when Dave morphed him into John Wayne. He looked half Jack, half John Wayne. Funniest heck looking.
know where you found that picture.
The boys in blue are out tonight.
Last week of the month, trying to hit the quota. Oh, that's not true. There's no such thing as a quota. BS. There is. There is such thing as a quota.
There is, and there is, and it all depends on what community you're in. It's in my town, Memphis. Yeah, Bruce writes a lot. A lot. And 99.9% of them are valid.
Well, I wish they had more police patrol on Mound Road, M59. My God, the crap I see. Everyone's playing on their phone. Everybody's speeding. Everybody's cutting everybody off. I mean, they could just write tickets all day long, you know. So, I don't know. I don't know where they're at, but they should be on Mound, Van Dyke, and M59. Those three roads.
Well, Sterling Heights used to be infamous with that. I know because I experienced a couple of those interactions, more or less, a long time ago. But my speed is tracked now, so that'd be a good boy. Go ahead, Jack, KCKGO.
Well, guys, the last time I heard Oakland County cops, they don't go outside anymore. They stay in. When something happens, then they go out. And that's what I heard. Was that on TV, by the way?
I just had a third one pass by me. Of course, they have a substation down here on 32 in Lenox, but still, that's three of them in less than 5 minutes.
Used to be a guy in Sterling Heights, cop, had a CB antenna and a ham antenna. He used to talk on the Useeker repeater and the CB. And he used to, like, catch me speeding all the time. He'd pull up next to me and go over his speaker, quit driving like an idiot, then take off. Some funny stories about that.
All right, Eric. Let me get going here. I got to eat a little bit. I'll talk maybe later on with you. And the other gentleman out there, too, the HALKF8DRC. Clear.
All right, Jack. Talk to you a little bit later.
This is KCKGO.
Roger.
By George Erickson's getting it.
He's getting it. Yeah, he is. He is getting it. Anywho, catch you later, Jack. W8EAPM, go see what's cooking myself. Catch you later. What's your first name? Is Tom, right? Thomas, or no?
Yeah, you got it. It's Tom. Tango Oscar Mike. I know. I got a Cujo here and there, but it's Tom. KCKGO. Be easy. Coffee on the flip.
Good evening, 2000 hours, mostly cloudy, 34 degrees.
DPZ, mobile monitoring.
DPZ, this is KF8AYL. How are you doing tonight?
Overall, not too bad. I'm not making my last delivery on my DoorDash tonight. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm just enjoying my second cigar, so I'm enjoying the second cigar.
But I'm sorry, I didn't understand that last. Sounds like you're over-deviating.
Yeah, let me turn the power level down on this one. I think I'm a little too close to this repeater.
That is a distinct possibility. You might want to try holding the mic a little further from your mouth.
Yeah, this is medium power. How's this sound?
Much clearer, not as distorted, but there's still a little bit there. Anyway, my first personal is Cliff, Charlie, Lima, Indigo, Foxtrot, Foxtrot.
No CB talk.
All right, well, let's try low power. How does low power sound?
Good evening. 21 hours. 32 degrees.
That was just about the same as it was on medium power. So again, I might suggest just holding the mic a couple more inches away from your mouth and see if that helps.
Well, that's interesting because I don't think I've ever heard that report before, but I guess I've never asked how my signal actually sounds on this particular one, but I guess it is what it is. I'm on medium power and trying to stay a distance away from my noise hole.
Well, then at least you're intelligible. I understood everything that you had to say.
All right, well, that's good. Well, my name's Ken here. I'm KF80WOW. I'm up in Birch Run, and I'm just enjoying a cigar in the evening here. It sounds like you're doing some DoorDash deliveries or something like that.
Yes, sir, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm getting ready to make my last delivery of the night before I go home.
Well, God bless. Everybody needs the food. Gotta have it. What? So if I had to ask, what food do you have with you right now?
I don't remember exactly what they ordered, but it was a pickup from a sushi joint.
A sushi joint. All right. Well, which sushi joint in? I'm guessing you're in southeastern Detroit area there.
Yes, I am. I got to make a turn right here. It was a place called Love Sushi in Fraser, Michigan. I live in Clinton Township right now, and basically right now I'm in downtown Mount Clemens, so I'm pretty much on top of that repeater.
All right, copy that. I'm a sushi kind of guy. I just didn't know where the good sushi joints were in southeastern Detroit there.
Fraser is actually northeast of Detroit, southeast of Mount Clemens, which is the Macomb County seat.
Yeah, I'm well familiar. You'll have to excuse me. Anything south of Flint, I call Detroit. So that's just the way it is. Like I said, I'm up in Birch Run, and anything south of Flint is basically Detroit to me. So. I grew up there. I know all the areas. I don't mean to disparage any factions of areas there or whatever, but yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, copy that. I will be right back. I got to make my delivery. I'm in front of the house.
Is that Ken out there? KFA, DRC.
That's affirmative, Jack. KF80WOW.
It says, what are you, KFL? KFL8?
Same first three as yours, KF8. Because that's kind of determined in Michigan area here. AYL, Alpha Yankee Lima. KF8, AYL.
All right, I got you. KFAAYL, correct?
That's correct. You said you wrote it down the other night, though. So why are you writing it down again?
I wrote it down the wrong way. Now I got it the right way, and thank you.
Yeah, so how's that general studying coming along there for you?
Believe Ken, I opened the book for the general. I went through 12 or 13. I got 5 of them correct.
Well, when I took my test, they said, oh, you can take the general for free right now if you want. I said, well, I didn't study for the general, but okay, I guess if it's free, I'll try and take it and see what happens. Yeah, it wasn't good. I think I got more than 5, I think I got like 8 right when I did that. Yeah, it wasn't good. You gotta learn it. You gotta study it.
Yes, I believe that, because when I was out there, they didn't have enough time. They were closing, there was nobody there, so I couldn't take it. They didn't have enough time to take it.
Well, where did you take your tech test at this time where you passed? Was it an online one, or was it an in-person one?
It was in Harrison Township. You know where those big boats are there on 16 Mile? I call it 16 Mile. And on the other side, they call it Big Beaver. That's where I took it.
I grew up in Troy. I'm well familiar with the whole area. I actually used to serve, I used to be a process server in Macomb County. So if you give me an address, I can tell you pretty much exactly where it's at in Macomb County. But, yeah, I hear you. So it was an in-person test, so that's good. And you passed this time, so that's awesome. You got it.
Oh, yeah. I was so happy I got it. He came in and said, you passed. You know what I mean? And he said, you passed. I didn't say nothing else. I was so happy. And he said... I didn't ask him how many did I fail with, but I think it was 8.
Well, in the 2 tests I took, they don't say anything unless you ask. If you ask, they'll tell you, but they usually just come back with, you passed, and if you ask, they'll tell you which questions you failed and how many, but if you don't ask, it's a pass-fail kind of thing.
Yes, you're right. Okay, I'm going to let you go because the other guy, I guess he came back. I don't know if he came back or not. We'll talk later. KFA, ERC.
Oh, I came back. I'm back out here. KFA, DPZ. How you doing tonight, Jack? Good to hear you out here.
Oh, thank you. How you doing? I know you had a delivery, and it was all good. Roger.
Yeah, copy that. Everything worked out. I'm on my way home right now. I'm southbound Gratiot, coming up on Metro Parkway / Big Beaver.
Okay, good. Go ahead and talk to Ken. KFA, ERC.
All right, Jack. Oh, by the way, this is Cliff from over on the GMRS side. I don't know if you remember or not.
I heard, but I don't know. Is that your call sign, or 380 or something like that? You used to go on 575 Troy repeater?
I used to always talk off the Mount Clemens repeater, and the call sign is Whiskey Romeo Mike Quebec 805.
Yes, I remember you now, yeah, 805, yeah. Anyhow, well, good to hear you here, too. Roger.
Yep, copy that, and thank you.
Okay, take care. I'll let you guys go ahead and finish up. KFA, DRC.
All right, copy that, Jack. You have yourself a good night. KF8DBZ. You still out there, Ken?
That's affirmative. I'm still out here. Just enjoying my cigar.
Yeah, there are times when I like one of those once in a while myself, but I'm more of a pipe man when it comes down to that.
Well, I've got a few pipes. I like my pipe smoke too, but cigar's a little bit easier sometimes when you just want to go out and have something, not mess around with it for 3 hours. But there's a lot of times in the summer when it's, I got 3 or 4 hours here, I'm going to load up my pipe and with my favorite smoke and have some fun with it. I get it.
Yeah, copy that. Now you got me wanting one when I get home. I'm like 3 minutes from the house now, if that.
Yeah, I still got a decent supply from Paul's Pipe Shop in Flint. They have they've been around there a long time. They have quite the extensive pipe tobacco selection. If you're ever in the area, that's the place to stop if you need some.
I copy that. When I get a chance to talk to you again, I'll have to write the name down of the place just so I can go check it out. Because right now, my favorite supplier of pipe tobacco is actually a small shop at the Michigan Renaissance Festival. They come up from Ohio to have a booth there.
Really? I'm a Renaissance Festival patron. Usually every year. Some years I miss it, but yeah, I'm usually there every year. I don't think I know what you're talking about then, because I don't think I've ever seen a pipe smoke shop, place, seller there.
It's recent. It used to be at the Ohio Renaissance Festival, and the deal fell through with the booth that they had there for some reason. I don't remember what it is. And so they ended up getting a deal with the Michigan Renaissance Festival just last season. So they should be there again this season. It's called Danny Boy Pipes.
All right. Well, I have to remember that. Yeah. That would be really interesting. I wasn't there last year, so that's probably why I missed them. But, yeah, if you're in Flint area, Paul's Pipe Shop. That's all you got to remember, Paul's Pipe Shop. Downtown Flint. It's been there forever. Great place.
All right, I can definitely remember that name. My lady's brother lives up by Flint. He's a ham, too. And sometime this summer, I think we're supposed to go out and put up another tower. So if I'm up that way, I will definitely start talking again. Now then, Paul's Pipe Shop, right?
Paul's Pipe Shop. That is affirmative. That's the name. Great place. Been there forever.
All right, sounds good. I think I can remember that. I got to let go for a minute because I'm trying to park. And done. I got the mic on my jury-rigged mobile here hanging from a batch refractor.
Well, I'm not going to try to picture that. So I can picture it, but I don't want to picture it.
Well, do you even have a radio in this little thing? It's 2014 Ford Escape. To even have one in here, basically I had to hang it from the upper center console because there's just no room on the dash of the floor for much of anything. So I did the best I could. I'm like a badger tractor. We'll keep it from flinging around in the car on me.
Yeah, I hear that. You got to do what you got to do. I've got a couple radios that I've put in my two or three different cars, and I've commonized the connection point, so I can just move the radio from one car to the next as I'm using them. But yeah, I hear you. It's difficult.
Yeah, copy that. I'm trying to use the same idea, basically, to set up all the same hardware and connections and everything that I build, so that, you know, if I have to move stuff around, it takes like, you know, 3 minutes.
Yeah, I have all these leftover Delphi connectors from when I built my off-road truck, and I started using them for radio connections and other things, but it came in handy for, you know, you get a certain radio that you like, and then it's like, I need to move this from this car to that car, and it became a pain in the butt without the connectors, and it's like, I need to just wire in. I'm going to wire this one to battery and just put the connector and wire that one, and then you can just pop the radio, pop the antenna connector and move it over and plug it in, and you're good to go.
Yeah, you got to love that.
All right, sir, I'm going to go in here and good chatting with you. Good to make your acquaintance. My name's Ken here again. This is KFADYL, and I'll be clear on your final.
All right, copy that, Ken. Again, first personal is Cliff. You have yourself a good evening and enjoy. I'm going to go in the house and get me something to eat. KF8DPZ, clear.
Good evening, 22 hours, mostly cloudy, 32 degrees. Good evening, 23 hours. Mostly cloudy, 31 degrees.